This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody, my name is Bo Bennett and I am your host for the Toastmasters podcast. Welcome everybody. Today, it's going to be just me and my guest. Ryan is not available to make this podcast, but we have a wonderful guest as usual. We're going to be speaking with Mr. Jeremy Donovan, who is the Chief Marketing Officer of American Management Association International. Prior to joining AMA, Jeremy served as Group Vice President of Marketing at Gartner, Inc., the world's leading information technology research and advisory company. During his career, Jeremy has held a variety of individual, contributor, and general management roles in the semiconductor industry and the information services business. He has led successful teams focused on marketing, new product development, product management, marketing research, and acquisitions. Jeremy is also the author of 4 books, including the one we're going to be speaking with him about on today's show, the international public speaking bestseller, How to Deliver a TED Talk. He holds a BS and MS in electrical engineering from Cornell University and an MBA from the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you, Bo. I really appreciate it. And as a goodness, I've been a Toastmaster for 16 years. So as a 16-year Toastmasters veteran, it's a humongous treat to be on your podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. For our listeners, I had the pleasure of meeting Jeremy face to face at the Book Expo in New York a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, that was another dream come true for me. Yeah, we did. We met up there. I think I was signing, got the privilege of signing books there.
Now, let's just talk about that show for a minute, because I go to this show every year for the past 5 years with for my company, eBookit, and I have a blast there. And just walking around, getting all the free products, it's huge. I mean, tons of authors there and people signing books and giving away free books. And every year we get to see, like, at least 5 or 6 A-list movie stars. Who did you see?
It's funny. The first part of it, I can definitely confirm. I was apparently the best giveaway in the whole show is the biggest bag, because you can put the most goodies in there, and I as a huge reader myself, I was so tempted to grab a bag and as many books as I could. I took home only one book, which there was a really cool steampunk book, and my daughter is a big steampunk fan, so that was my one take home. But you know, I guess I was head down. I didn't see the movie stars, but I think that's one of my problems is I never noticed them. And my wife pokes me and says, "Hey, you know, that's Bruce Willis." And I say, "That's what Bruce Willis looks like without all the makeup."
Oh, geez. Well, I'll tell you who you missed. You missed Neil Patrick Harris. You missed Jason Segel, and you missed Martin Short, Angelica Houston. And the guy who wrote Diary of a Wimpy Kid, he's from my neck of the woods too. I forgot his name, but there were just so many people there, and you actually get to meet them. You get to shake their hands, and you get my daughter had her picture taken with them. It's a lot of fun. It's a huge event. And it's called the Book Expo, and it's in New York, the Javits Center. If anybody is interested in books and being an author, well, I suggest you check it out. It's a lot of fun. Anyways, that's where I met Jeremy face to face. But let's get into talking about what your book is about, and which is TED. So for the benefit of those who do not know, what is a TED Talk exactly?
Yeah, so when I first heard of TED Talks, I thought it was a person, but TED actually stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And in its very, very early incarnations, all the talks that they did were about that. And it started as a conference, and it's a fairly ultra-elite conference. It's quite expensive. You have to apply to even pay money to attend. So that's really what I got fascinated in is I've been doing Toastmasters speeches and other kinds of speeches for so long. And I think spreading ideas is a central part of what we do when we communicate. So I thought, hey, why don't I study the best of these 18-minute talks that are all about ideas worth spreading? Some of them inspiring, but a lot of them really, really practical, and put that into book form.
Huh. Wow. So let's start from the beginning. How did you get involved in public speaking?
Oh, that's a really great question. And it actually has a Toastmasters bent to it. So
that's what we like.
I started my life as an extremely socially introverted person. And that social introversion led me very naturally to a career in engineering where I could sit behind a workstation and not have to talk to anyone.
Sure.
I got interested, I was in Silicon Valley in the late 90s, and I got very interested in the intersection of technology and business. So I moved from being a semiconductor engineer to being a semiconductor analyst, which I always describe as being, for most people, a shade of gray, but a huge difference for me because it meant I couldn't just hide anymore. My boss came to me and said in 3 months I would have to give a conference presentation to hundreds of people, and I was terrified. So I did what any terrified person does when they want to find their way into public speaking, is I joined a Toastmasters club, which fortunately for me was in my building, and that was really the beginning of that saga in mid-1998.
Wow. And here you are today. Congratulations.
Yeah, the social introversion has been shed, and I still, if people ask me, do you get nervous when you speak anymore? Of course, I think that's natural and that's human. I still get nervous, but I try to now channel that nervous energy into my speeches. And yes, the ums and the ahs come back sometimes, but I do my best to think about that person with the counter and the bell or the money jar, as I've seen in some clubs, put a nickel in for every one you say.
That's funny. Just yesterday, actually, I was talking to my son about public speaking because he had to deliver a speech like the last day of school or something. And I explained to him about the nerves. He's always like a little bit nervous, of course. I mean, he's in seventh grade, and who isn't at any age, let alone a seventh grader. But I explained to him that the nerves are good. Think of it as a bell curve. If you're all the way at the beginning of the bell curve, like down low, then there's no nervous energy working to your favor, and you're not going to perform the best. But you need that energy, you need that emotion in order to get the brain going. And once you're at the peak, that's where you're going to be the best, like at that peak. And if you get too nervous and too excited, well, then of course you start going down the bell curve, and that's
absolutely
not good. That's right.
I think the key, one of the big keys for me, I guess the big breakthrough I had to do with authenticity. For so many years in Toastmasters, I think, it was my own mistake. I think other people learn this lesson sooner than I do, but I was learning all this stuff about vocal variety and eye contact and movement and hand gestures. And there was a period, at least in my journey of speaking, where it was very mechanical. And then at some point I realized, you know what, just let all that stuff go. Mm-hmm. And when you get up there, just be yourself, have a conversation with the audience. And I found that not having to concentrate on all these technical things that I had learned actually helped lower the nervousness a bit. And I could just go up there, be a master of your content, and have a conversation.
Now, your book, How to Deliver a TED Talk, boasts over 100 valuable or invaluable tips. Was that one of them? And if so, can you share some more with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think actually it might even be one of the, I don't have a copy of the book in front of me right now, but people ask me, what is the biggest piece of advice you can give out of watching all those TED Talks? And I think the biggest piece of advice I have is spread one idea. And what I mean by that is, so often you hear a speech, right? And the speech is, intro, three main points, and a conclusion. Perfectly fine structure, both in the personal and the professional world. But those three points, I find so often are somewhat disconnected. They don't connect very tightly into a single theme. And, an example of this is where it works as opposed to where it doesn't work is some of these best TED Talks. Take Sir Ken Robinson, who I think he's usually number one. He trades off from time to time with other speakers. Mm-hmm. Sir Ken Robinson's point is that there's not just one or two types of intelligence, IQ and EQ. There are 7 billion types of intelligence that we have to acknowledge that every human being has a unique sort of intelligence. And in particular, by embracing those 7 billion intelligences, we can foster creativity in our youth through the education system. Take, let's say, Amy Cuddy, who's a Harvard researcher, and she talks about how you should use physically expansive body language before you go into a high-stakes situation so that you rewire your brain to be more confident. And a third example, there's a guy named Joe Smith. I had to get Joe's permission to quote him in my book. Joe talks about how to use one paper towel. You know, so all three of those examples express this idea, which is just spread one idea. It's so tempting when you go up to give a talk, whether it's a TED talk or some other talk, that you know, you had huge epiphanies in your life that you want to share with other people. It's an act of great compassion. And yet if you try to share too much, you share nothing. So pick one thing and really get that one thing and go deep, right? Don't go broad, go deep.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly good advice. I'm going to ask you to break that rule and share another thing.
All right. I guess the other thing I would say is, you know, that's the start, is you got to pick that one idea to spread. The other thing I learned that I think along the way that really blew my mind, and I didn't get out, sometimes it's just because I don't study hard enough. It's probably in the Toastmasters curriculum or material. It has to do with storytelling. Uh-huh. When I moved off of the CC manuals and into the advanced manuals, I tried to pick manuals that were the most challenging for me. And I still remember that the two I did for the ACB, the Advanced Communicator Bronze, were humor and storytelling, because I thought I was neither funny nor good at telling stories. And on the storytelling one, I did a lot of studying to figure out what does a great story look like. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled on this framework called the Pixar pitch. After the and a lot of public speaking experts talk about this now. It's you know, brought to you by the folks who brought you Toy Story and Finding Nemo, and it's a three-act structure, and it goes like this. In Act One, it begins with once upon a time and every day, and then Act One ends with until one day. In story literature, that's called the inciting incident. It's something that throws the protagonist into a journey. Then Act Two comes, and the protagonist is on the journey, and it's and because of that, and because of that, and because of that, and Act Two ends with until finally, which is of course the climax in story terminology. Mm-hmm. And then Act Three is and after that, so that's the resolution of the climax, and then it ends with and the moral of the story is X. When I learn to internalize, it's just three acts with two little pieces in each act, two steps, if you will, in each act. When I learned to internalize that, it completely transformed my ability to tell stories. And in particular, there were times where I was leaving out some of the critical pieces and people would get lost in the stories I told, or I was going on for too long in different parts of the story. And by knowing the Pixar pitch, I was able to tighten up my stories. And I just, why it was such a revelation is I then took that structure and I applied it to a lot of the best TED Talks. And I said, holy cow, this is exactly what they're doing. Whether they know it or not, it is the template for the way that great stories are told.
So, Jeremy, what is your favorite Pixar movie?
What's my favorite Pixar movie? It probably is Finding Nemo.
Oh, that's great.
You know, you said you have at least one kid. Maybe you got more kids. I got two kids, you know, and it's a dad in search of his son, and his son wanting to get back together with his dad. It's hits home pretty closely.
Yeah, it's a great story. Even though they're fish, you could identify with them.
Yeah, you definitely can, and it's that's the beauty of a great story, right? Is you can take fish and even rats, right? Who would have thought? I don't know if Ratatouille is Pixar, if it's DreamWorks or one of the others, You know, who can take a rat in the kitchen and make that friendly? If you or I had a rat in our kitchen, I don't think we would allow him or her to cook us our meal.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. So why this TED talk versus any other format of talk? Why do you focus on TED?
You know, I've now with the books I've written, I've tried to focus actually on different formats for different reasons. That's a really great question. So with TED, what I was looking for was keynotes. What a TED talk is a keynote style speech that is about spreading an idea. So that was sort of checking the box for me, and I try to look for the best example of that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book about Toastmasters with the 2012 world champion Ryan Avery, world champion of public speaking, and that book was to do the exact same thing, but to understand inspirational speeches, which is a slightly different purpose. There are inspirational TED talks, but it's not about principally about that. So I kind of checked the box on that one. The other one that I think is a really, really great area that I haven't explored is your listeners might find themoth.org, the Moth Radio Hour. Mm-hmm. People in New York are a little bit more familiar with that, and that's spreading now to, you know, other parts of the U.S. and potentially overseas as well. That's all about incredibly entertaining and humorous personal storytelling. And I'd love to one day do a book on that. I have to get their permission to do it, as I always do with these folks, you know, as I did with Toastmasters. And it's a little, that, you know, that might take some work. But I actually have just finished a fifth book, and I decided to cover a completely different thing, which was I found that the books I had written and the books that a lot of, you know, other authors that are out there who write about public speaking, we're all concentrating on that keynote domain. But the truth for you and I and the folks who are listening is that most of the presentations we give are normal everyday presentations, sitting down in a chair in a conference room in a business setting. So I just finished a fifth book that is precisely about how to create and deliver exceptional business presentations. And I'm so excited about that one, because it's more what I do every day.
Okay. Well, let's say that one of our listeners, or many of our listeners, want to deliver a TED Talk. How would they go about doing this?
Yeah, so that's actually when I wrote an early version that was self-published of the book, and I guess that was the promise of the title in a way, but I hadn't done that. So when I revised the book, the second edition now contains a pretty thorough description about how you go about it. Here's the best advice I have. You have to understand that there are two different types of TED Talks. The first is I'll call it the major leagues. Mm-hmm. That's getting actually up in the TED conference or TED Global, one of the conferences that's actually run by the official TED conferences organization. To be able to speak there, it's almost like you have to get selected. You have to have done something extraordinary in order to get selected. So just, you know, if you want to do that, forget about the TED Talk, just go do extraordinary things and maybe or maybe not you'll get selected to give a TED Talk, but the extraordinary thing that you did is much more important. Okay. So I'll leave that one aside, because that's sort of more magical in a way to be able to secure that. What I advise people to do is instead to target TEDx events. Mm-hmm. So TEDx follows the rules of TED.com, but they're independently organized. And your videos get posted up on YouTube, and they're also hosted on TED.com. So it has a lot of the same benefits, but you just have this independent organization of the events. So if you just go on TED.com and click on TEDx events, you want to find an event that's local to your area. TEDx organizers really don't want to source people who aren't local to them. So find a local TEDx organizer and reach out to them. There's a messaging platform on TED.com, but you could also see their names, and you can find them on Facebook or find them on LinkedIn and reach out to them and say, you know, hey, I've got this particular speech that's thematically aligned with what you're running the conference on. That's pretty important. And see where you get. And I've given that advice to a lot of people. And if you are persistent, you'll find your way onto a TEDx stage by connecting with those local TEDx organizers.
Well, sounds good. Sounds not too difficult. You use the analogy of the global TED event being the major leagues. So would this TEDx event be more of like the minor leagues, or would it be like playing softball for Billy's Clam Shack?
No, I think it's the minor leagues.
That's good.
It's still not easy. I mean, it still takes persistence. It still takes work to give those talks. You know, if you give a bad talk, the organizer can choose not to upload your video. So, you know, you still got to put significant effort into giving a great talk. And, you know, for Toastmasters, the good news is a TED Talk can be up to 18 minutes. We get so conditioned to do a 5 to 7 minute speech, and that's actually perfectly acceptable. If you can work your speech out to 18 minutes, again, by going deeper rather than broader, then you can pull it off too. I actually found after giving so many 5 to 7 minute speeches, it was actually kind of tough to do 18.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've experienced that myself. So Jeremy, where can one go to get more information about you and your books that you've been writing?
Sure. Yeah. So the I'll kind of give you three places. One is certainly all the books are available in major bookstores like Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and so on. So the books are easy to find. I also blog at Speaking Sherpa, S-P-E-A-K-I-N-G, as you would expect, and then Sherpa, like a guide, S-H-E-R-P-A.com. So you can find me on the blog. I'm very responsive, so if anyone wants to contact me via the blog, love to hear from you. And then thirdly, I'm a humongous LinkedIn addict. I don't use Facebook much, but I do use LinkedIn a lot. So connect with me on LinkedIn. Just when you type in my name, remember it's got three E's, J-E-R-E-M-E-Y, and then Donovan, the traditional spelling. So love to connect with you if you want. If I can ever help you, let me know.
All right. Jeremy, it has been a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm glad we got this opportunity. Thank you so much for being on the Toastmasters podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.
What a treat. Thanks, Bo.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.